signals.
Turn signals are great.
I love when people communicate with me in the street. Over-communicate.
Look both ways. I feel like that's important.
Up and down. All four ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, be kind to people.
Yes.
And eat your veggies if you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have some fruit, maybe give them to a neighbor or something.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Or me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind it. Anyways.
Mail it too. I'm just kidding.
Mail it.
No fruit in the mail, please, folks.
That's not a good idea. Don't tell that to Edible Arrangements. Anyways.
Hello.
We gotta get going.
Edible Arrangements catching strays out here. Okay. We gotta go.
We'll be back next week. Thank you all so much. See ya.
Bye.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, KBOO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programmings of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website, kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing, unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Governance and Policy Committee meets quarterly on the third Tuesday of March, June, September, and December at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify that a meeting is being held.
Slip a bookmark into your paperback and listen to KBOO for interviews with your favorite fiction and nonfiction writers. Between the Covers airs Thursdays from 11 to 11:30 a.m. here on KBOO 90.7 FM.
This is Medea Benjamin. I hope you listen to Community Radio KBOO 90.7.
1, 2, 3, 4. Welcome to Beyond Your Front Door, your adventure guide to the Central Oregon coast. I'm your host, Dina Pavlis. Two of my favorite things to do here on the coast are kayaking and fishing. I'm pleased to be in the studio today with experienced local fisherman, Carrie Pinnock. Carrie was on our show earlier this year to talk about rock fishing here on the coast, and I'm pleased to have him back today to talk about kayak fishing. Carrie will...
Good morning, this is Disability Justice, an everyday pursuit and survival. Your host, John Griffiths.
The following program uses strong clinical language. Listener discretion is advised.
So, in the studio with me today is Kate Williams, Disability Equity Center, Director of Advocacy Supports. What does Director of Advocacy Supports do?
Hi, I'm Kate and I use she, her pronouns. And the Director of Advocacy Supports, that title makes me laugh in the most like loving and affectionate way for our disability community and the tendency to like give things these like quite dramatic names. Essentially, my focus is working with other disabled folks to amplify our voices in the community, increase opportunities to access art and life and community with a kind of specific focus on holistic or whole health and wellness. So health, which includes sex and living our values and relaxing and accessing opportunities that feel good. So the Director of Advocacy Supports me does a little bit of program creation and hiring of other disabled folks and looking for funding and connecting with the community, try to look for ways for more access. The title doesn't give a lot of information about what I do. And also it's just quite long and a little bit silly. And that sort of feels true to what the Disability Equity Center or DEC is.
Well, you said you hire people with disabilities. What do you hire them to do?
So just to give a little background. So the Disability Equity Center, DEC, is a grassroots nonprofit and was started at the tail end of 2019. So cool time to start a nonprofit, like right before COVID and right before sort of our whole way of structuring ourselves with each other changed. And it was started by a group of disabled people living in the Willamette Valley who were just looking for an opportunity to be with each other in a way that was honest and not apologetic, and also cultivated opportunities within the non-disabled community to do those things too. So we're primarily a nonprofit that's comprised of disabled folks. So most of the folks who sit on our board of directors are disabled. And right now, all of our paid employees are also disabled people. Folks are doing kind of all different things. So I'm in my role, which is looks a bit like in a traditional nonprofit, what an executive director or program director's role might look like. And then we have disabled folks who are creating opportunities for health and wellness spaces and education. We have an art community and a music community. And we're looking to, just kind of continue this intentional nonprofit space that exists outside of maybe the models that came with previous generations of like disability rights groups, where like, the focus is disability, but the leadership is non-disabled people sort of telling us disabled folks, like, oh, this is for you. Oh, this is for you. And we really want to do it from this disability justice frame where our leadership and our direction is by us, by disabled folks. So people are doing a little sprinkling of everything right now, from grant development to program implementation to a few hours of access audits with.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome to Beyond Your Front Door, your adventure guide to the Central Oregon coast. I'm your host, Dina Pavlis. Two of my favorite things to do here on the coast are kayaking and fishing. I'm pleased to be in the studio today with experienced local fisherman, Carrie Pinnock. Carrie was on our show earlier this year to talk about rock fishing here on the coast, and I'm pleased to have him back today to talk about kayak fishing. Carrie will talk about all you need to know to get started with this fun sport. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Happy to be back.
I'm so glad to have you back. Your last show on rock fishing was so informative, and people might want to check that out. It's on our SoundCloud playlist on soundcloud.com. Just search for Beyond Your Front Door. But can you share a little bit today about how long you have been kayak fishing?
Well, it's been about 10 years. The wife wanted to get kayaks, and I thought it'd be fun to get kayaks, and I hadn't really been sold on the idea until she looked at me and grinned and says, "You can fish out of your kayak." I'm like, "Oh yeah,
there you
oh,
go, yeah. Sold."
I did sold. Yep. So we pulled the trigger on a couple of kayaks, and I got started doing it then. I enjoyed it. I could spend 6 hours in that kayak doing that.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Just being out in a kayak is so fun, even if you're just not fishing. Yeah. But it's one thing I like about kayaks is how close in you can get to things, into certain areas, even if it's shallow. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yep. Yep.
So do you fish primarily in the Siuslaw River, or is it mainly lake fishing?
Wherever the opportunity pops up.
Okay.
I mean, I'm happy to be in the water. I know a lot of folks out there like to just kayak on the water, but I'm so focused on fishing that the kayak that I had before was meant for packing in and staying. The thing would hold like 700 pounds of weight. You could camp out of it and stuff like that. But the hull is shaped, it has a keel, everything's round. And the more weight you put into it, the more stable it was. But I didn't like the way they rolled.
Right.
And once I started thinking, okay, I'm going to do my homework and I'm going to find something that is a workhorse, not something that will cut through the water and is real sleek and moves quick. The last kayak, I could get it moving fast enough with the paddles that I could troll a Ford Fender easily. But when I got a strike and the action started getting thick, it was hard to focus on, you know, setting the paddles in my lap or putting them on the rubber anchors that I have on the side. By then, the fish has already struck and is running. So doing those, you know, two different things with each hand, it just got aggravating. So I thought, I'm going to get something that's stable, and I can, I'd like to get something that I can pedal.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. And that pedaling works better because your hands are free.
My hands are free. I can get a strike now and grab the pole and start fighting that fish. The kayak I got is a 13.5 footer, and it's over 3 feet wide. And I can stand up in this thing. I took it out a couple of weekends ago to do my maiden voyage, and the wife got several pictures of me, you know, going through a routine. Adjusting my seat. I can adjust my seat forward or back. I can drop the drive system down, or I can pull it up. If I'm cruising along the lake and I see a stream that I want to cruise up, I can just stand up, reach forward, pull the pins, and that whole mechanism just folds up inside so the prop isn't dragging. It's slick. So that was a fun 5 hours. In fact, we're at Wohink and the wind was kicking up that day pretty bad. So I thought, I wonder if, you know, in the past, the wind would move you around anyway, no matter what kayak you're in. I thought, well, I'm going to take advantage of this. So I just held my paddle straight up and pulled the drive system up so there wasn't any drag. And that wind pushed me all the way around the horn of Wohink without even moving.
That's so great.
I just sat there and smiled and cruised around the horn and, okay, the wind's not helping me, so I just dropped the system down and started pedaling.
So Cheryl sent me a picture of you in your kayak from that day, and it's a pretty awesome photo of you standing up, and that will be available on SoundCloud.com with the show, but also I'll use it for advertising, so people will get to see that. Is your kayak a tri-hull, the new one?
Yes. They actually, the guys, this particular craft, they call it a cathedral hull, and one of the guys has explained it to me. It has slots, you know, like a tri-hull, but for some reason it glues the hull to the water. The water tension holds it there because it doesn't have a rounded keel like canoes or most kayak. It basically is stable. I mean, I can stand up in this thing and shift back and forth. I can actually move. I can actually try to kick the kayak forward, like if I was to, you know, put my foot up in the air and have the thing slide out from underneath me like a banana peel.
Right.
it wouldn't move.
That's so great.
Yeah, I'm very pleased
with
this thing.
They're very stable.
Oh,
you know,
incredibly stable.
Dan bought fishing kayaks for us, even though he's working, so we haven't actually fished in them.
Right.
But I have used it to stand up and pick blackberries on the side of Northworks Islaw. And it's so stable. You can just stand up easily. And you're right. They're not as fast as the single hulls. So when I'm out with friends who are paddling faster, I'm usually the last one in the rear. But I don't always mind that because it's quiet and I can relax.
Yep.
But super stable. I really love that kayak. And the ones we have, they don't have an adjustable seat like yours does. The seat is molded in, but they have an upper seat and a lower seat. So it makes it a little bit easier, like for Dan's knees sometimes are sore from work. Mm-hmm. So he can get up on that upper seat and it makes it easier to get out too. It's easier to get in and out for him.
Yeah,
so
the sit on
really
tops
great.
Are so nice because if you're fidgety, if you're twitchy,
you can
move around.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we talked a little bit about where you fish, and I'm just wondering, when you are on a river or a lake, are you looking for certain features or characteristics of an area to know, hey, this might be a good spot for fishing? Well, or does it depend on what you're fishing for?
Yeah, it depends on what you're fishing for. You know, the Norfolk, I go up there at the end of summer for blueback, and where the bends are, where that water carves in and it's deep in those areas, especially if there's like a cedar or a spruce tree and there's shadow, where that bend is real sharp, those holes tend to be deep.
Oh, interesting.
And that's where the fish hang out, is in that shade, because you know the sun just beats up there. It gets real hot up there, so they like that shade, keep the water cooler. And so I'll, you know, in the straight stretches, I might troll just for giggles, but when I get to one of those bends and I got shade in there, then that's what I target.
So that actually brings up another question I wanted to ask you. We're recording this on June 25th and 2022, and it's an extremely hot day here in Florence. Mm-hmm. A heat wave is predicted here into the 80s, which is quite rare for us. So is it good to fish on a hot day, or it sounds like you want cooler days, or do you just need to find shade?
Well, it's usually on a day like this, if I was going to hit one of the lakes, I'd probably run down to Tackenich and hit some of those coves in there, because those coves are deep. There's a lot of bigs. There's sun perch in that lake that are between 10 and 12 inches long. The sun perch, and they're really good to eat. The trout fishing, I like to hit that stuff in the fall.
Okay.
You know, and so, you know, the lakes are good too. I know I've got a couple of buddies that bass fish, and they can do that all the time.
Yeah.
You know. And that's fine. But I'm out there to catch something and take it home and eat it. So I'm focused on it. I know a lot of guys, God bless them, they like the capture and, you know, catch and release.
Right.
And that's fine, because that's their hobby. But me, I target stuff that I know I'm going to take home and have it for dinner with sourdough.
Yeah, that would be me too. I want to fish. You know, I'm not big on just catching the fish and letting it go.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather fish for a meal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
And I'm not a huge fan of trout, so I probably would want to fish for something else.
Yeah, Cheryl's the same way. She likes the whitefish, which is why I love fishing the ocean. You all hit coves. They're protected. One of my favorites is Sunset Bay.
Because you'd be inside the bay.
Oh, you're behind Simpson Reef.
You can.
I mean, the ocean feeds right into that, but it's protected by Simpson Reef, which is out there quite a ways, a couple of miles. And I've been out on the other side, on the ocean side, when we've gone out to bottom fish, I've seen kayaks. I've looked back in behind Simpson Reef, and there are kayaks all over in there.
Right.
And there is a lot of good rockfish. If you're not if you don't like salmon or trout, that's the place to go to.
I'm still going to take you up on going rock fishing.
Oh, yeah, it'll happen.
Like, that's on the list.
That's
on
the list.
I know it's a little too soon still.
Yep, it has to be in the fall.
Okay, so that's on my list. Dan and I will be contacting you.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And I just want to mention, if anyone is not an experienced kayaker, you know, please seek out a guide or somebody experienced to go with, especially if you're going in the ocean, so that you know where to go and where not to go, so you stay safe.
Yep.
So I'm thinking about fishing. And from a kayak, I'm wondering, is there a special length or type of pole that you use or reel that would be different than what you might use, for example, from the shore?
Well, I grew up using spinning reels, which is what everybody uses. They're, you know, the bait casters, the level winds. Those are great for, you know, mooching, going straight down. Some guys know how to cast those things without creating a bird's nest on the reel, but I like them for mooching. And that's what I use when we go out to the ocean. Because those, you just send it down to the bottom. I do have a special rod that I bought that is about a 8.5 footer. It might just be a 7. But it has a soft tip, but a strong back. And I've actually caught 3-foot lings with this thing. It's wow. I use spider wire on that. It is a spinny reels. But what I'll do is I'll take several poles with me. I've got a trout pole when I'm in the lakes. And then I've got a 5-foot rod. And these, the shorter ones belong to my grandpa. They actually have a steel. The rod is steel. And the little mooching rod is probably only two feet long. So I can drop something heavy down there and just mooch the bottom for something, whatever picks it up. But on those bigger kayaks, they got spots to hang poles, so I can take as many as 4 poles with me.
Okay.
And depending on what I'm going after, you know, I just put one away and then grab another one and start fishing.
Yeah. Yeah. Our kayak has like holes in it that you can put the poles in.
Yep.
So it's kind of nice. Are there any other types of equipment that you would recommend for somebody kayak fishing aside from talking about the reel and the pole?
The life vest, obviously. That's the big thing. Even if it's going to be hot outside, just, you know, wear a tank top and then put the life vest on. I mean, you know, they make a life vest very comfortable, and it's just smart to have one. Even if you're an excellent swimmer, if you, you know, do end up taking a swim, you know, if you bonk your head on a stick or a rock or something like that, you know, you need that flotation device. So, yeah, that's the mandatory thing, most definitely. Other than that, really, just depending on what you are fishing for and what you like to fish for. Ask your friends.
Do you bring a net?
Yes.
To get them in the boat easier?
Yep. And this fall, I'm going to try to catch some coho out of that thing. So I'm going to have to do some searching to try to find a net that's big enough to handle at least a 30-inch salmon. But obviously, I can't take a net that has a handle on it that's 6 feet long.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to have to see if I can't find something that's a little shorter throw, so I can scoop that fish out of the water and not have a big pole, a big handle on that net. I'll find one. They got to be out there.
Well, once you catch your fish, how do you store it then in the kayak? Is it on a stringer hanging off, or would other fish eat it if you did that? Or like, is it, this may be a silly question, you can tell I'm not a fisherman, or do you put it in a bucket on your boat, or how do you?
Well, in a fishing kayak, they have holds. They actually have holds. I could actually put ice in there. And,
okay.
And then what I do is I just cut the gills, bleed it, and then throw it in the ice box.
Okay.
In the past, when I was fishing out of that other kayak, I didn't have a choice. I didn't want to throw them in the cockpit kayak because then they're just sitting in there getting warm and dry, getting hot.
Yeah, kind of gross.
And so those I had to run a stringer, you know,
okay,
off the
so
side.
You can run a stringer.
Yeah,
and you don't
sure.
have to worry that something bigger is going to come along and pull it off.
No, unless you're fishing the ocean, that'll change.
Okay. I figured that might be a silly question.
Yeah, get some sand shark going, hey, there's something free. Or a sea lion.
Yeah,
a sea lion would come and snag it.
I just had a couple crabbers on and they
rise them up, KBOO 90.7. You don't know it's your girl, Tasha T.